Now, when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good whatever it is, wherever you are in the world, people. You are listening to Blood River Radio. That's right, man. Blood River Radio. We're the only radio operation in the United States that we consider ourselves a white civil rights group. And you've probably heard me say it before. I hope you don't get too tired of me saying that we hope we, as we get funds, if we get more donors, people that are really serious, people that don't want just plain old entertainment, you know, like going to the movie. If you're really concerned about your family and the white race and all the satanic hell that's going on in the United States, we need you and we need your support, your financial support. If you can't, for some reason, you can't help us go on the road, like when we go to Charlottesville in October, November. If you can't do that, God knows we need your money. We need money for airtime. Sam is carrying us on his dime. We need airtime desperately. We got some great loyal donors. We really do. But listen, tonight it's going to be me. I'm Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and we have Jacob Moondog Tyler. He's going to be with us tonight. We're going to be kicking some Antifa and some Black Lives Matter butt. We're going to be kicking the hell out of them. You know, in the second hour, we're going to have Jason Bartlett on. He's coming in from South Africa. He's going to be on a half hour, the first half hour of the second segment. And also, we have another fella, a dear friend of ours, a former brother of the League of the South. He may call in with a short statement he wants to make tonight. But listen, before we go any further, you know the drill. We're going to say a prayer. And Jacob Moondog Tyler himself is going to say that prayer. How you doing tonight, Jacob?
I'm doing great, Pappy. Glad to be on with you, and I'd like to extend a warm greeting to everyone out there in Radio Land tuning in tonight to the show.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's no one I'd rather be working with. Matt was supposed to be on tonight, but Matt is in love, and he's on vacation, and so he's off taking care of pleasure before business, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, Jacob, you know, I was young once myself, believe it or not. Sam was even younger than me. But me and Sam, we were born hardcore, son. Anyway, Jacob, you will take it. I'll tell you what, people, we never, ever have needed prayer in my lifetime more than we need it now. And I know of no one who can give a better prayer than Jacob Moondog Tyler himself. Go ahead, Jacob, son.
That's kind of you to say, Pappy. Thank you. Well, yeah, folks, we very much are, for all the effort that we pour into this show week in and week out, it is extremely important, like Pappy is saying, to remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the powers of this present darkness, just as the scriptures tell us. And for all the evil that we're seeing in the world, it is the real evil that we're fighting is the force, the power that propels them forward, that deludes them and deceives them and leads them to do all the despicable things that they're doing that we decry and expose on this show each week. And Zechariah 4:6 tells us, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And for all of the vociferous denunciations of evil that we endeavor to put out there for y'all's encouragement and edification each week, we want to remind each and every one of you that it is not by our might or the talent of the people who are involved in Liberty News Radio, Sam Bushman, Eddie, myself, Matt, Monica, Gene. It's not by the power or the abilities by any one of us, but by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the God of truth. So with that in mind, let's Let's go to him in prayer right now. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to fellowship on air with our listeners and for this opportunity to tell the truth and shame the devil, to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, and to show the forces of evil and the spiritual wickedness that is behind them, that we will not back down. For the God that we serve is not only the God of truth, but he has given the enemies of truth and the unimaginably wicked forces that we are battling against here into our hands already. God has already won the victory, and he is pleased to use men, and through our feeble efforts, we strive to give honor to the God of our fathers, the God of truth, and speak truth to power, as the saying goes, but more importantly, truth to the powers that are behind them. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would embolden us, quicken our minds, and give us wisdom and insight. Help us to be a light and an encouragement and an inspiration to our brothers and sisters out there tonight who may be struggling with painful circumstances or disappointment or hardship and heartbreak in their life. They may feel very isolated at times. I know all of us do. But Lord, remind them that just as you told Elijah in the days of old, that there were still 7,000 men that had not bowed the knee to Baal. Remind them, Lord, that there are many of us who have not bowed our knees to political correctness, who have not bowed our knees to the great Baal of our time. Lord, speak through us, enlighten us, strengthen us, and this we ask of you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen. That gives me chills, Jacob, when you say that prayer, you know. And I would just like to remind people that Jacob is absolutely right. The scripture is absolutely right. You don't defeat evil with our might, because we have no might. We have no power. God uses these weak to defeat the strong. He uses the simple to compound the wise. That's how he gets his glory. I mean, if he uses Samson to defeat Barney Fife, what glory is in that? That's just an analogy. But before we go further, I've got to do something I promised we'd do last week. We've got to cover the donors right quick, like, because without donors, we could not operate. We have one of my favorite people, Alan Biscuit Kennard from Florida. He is a loyal donor. We also have Kenneth Burroughs from New York. Has donated. Thank you so much, people. We love you so much. And we also have a new donor, Micah, M-I-C-A-H, Micah W. Josenhans, if I'm pronouncing that. That's a good German name. I believe he's from Maryland. Also, we have Dennis Hilligoss, and, excuse me, and my good friend, our wonderful supporter, James Baker, James from the West Coast. And we also have Henry Roden from Florida. Who have supported us, and without that support, who we graciously, God knows we love y'all for donating to us and helping us. And people, with that, we'll be right back after this break. We got one hell of a show for you tonight, so hang on to your seats. Be right back. Me and Jacob are going to take it off.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Thank you, Mr. Sam. People, we are right back, and I'm getting ready to go back to Jacob. And what we're going to do, me and Jacob, we're going to go back and forth. We had to change this show kind of on the fly, like we do sometimes, because Matt the Mole is in love. He's at yonder on vacation with a sweet little damsel. So I don't blame him at all for not wanting to come in tonight. But anyway, Jacob, what you got going? Because we know in about a couple of minutes, I thought you and me would chew the fat and kind of hash out anything you have. Then we go to our first clip.
Sure. Well, there's quite a bit to talk about, I would say, with the Chaz fiasco, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, which had to change its name to CHOP not too long after that. All the right-wing pundits that I follow have been having a field day with this one, and it's just, there's an endless source of material on this. You know, of course, that most of our listeners, I'm sure, if not everyone, hard to imagine anyone hasn't heard at least something about this already, but an entire six-block radius of Seattle actually got occupied and taken over by Marxists and BLM and Antifa types. And, of course, you know, this was all amidst the insistence by the media and even leaders of the cities in which these riots were going on, that this is peaceful protesting and all these people wouldn't harm a fly and blah, 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 blah. But, of course, notwithstanding the actual well-meaning people that always do get caught up in stuff like this, we're not even talking about folks like that at this point, because they have been completely drowned out by these mobs of violent rioters. And the whole Chaz fiasco was just case in point of how these people are anything but peaceful. And it was so over the top that when Chris Cuomo, I believe it was, that CNN anchor,
yes,
had the mayor of Seattle, Jenny Durkan, on, and he was, she had already ordered the police to abandon the precinct that was there in that part of town. And shortly after that, all the commies just came in and took over. And of course, wouldn't you know it, the first thing they do is they build a wall and start carrying guns and policing the area, no less, too. And there was that warlord guy who took over for a little while, who was formerly an Airbnb superstar. He was like a really high rated guy on Airbnb. And that was one of his major. He had some other businesses too, because he won some kind of lawsuit or whatever, and had gotten a big grant. And so he started a handful of businesses And but one of the big things that, you know, he was this Airbnb, high-rated guy on Airbnb. And he became like a sort of little warlord for a little while and was conducting armed patrols of the zone. People that lived in the area were reporting that they were terrified. They were hearing screams and gunshots after dark. You know, and
Rapes.
Jenny Durkin had gone on CNN when Chris Cuomo was asking her about this and was like, what's going on? And asking her about whether or not it would be violent. And Jenny Durkin infamously said, I don't know. I think we might have a summer of love. And so, that whole thing was just a complete disaster. And then now they're kind of quietly having to wrap it up. Chaz has pretty much collapsed and people are still staying there and like refusing to move out, but they are slowly taking it back over. But meanwhile,
well, they probably ran out of dope, Jason. They probably ran out of dope, and alcohol. But Jacob, speaking of Seattle, it's even worse. The audience needs to know it's even worse than that. And we're getting ready to play you a clip that tells you just how bad it is. Jacob, are you ready for that clip?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Sam's going to play us a clip, and people, you're not going to believe this. Yeah, I mean, it's worse than that, what Jacob just got to describe. So go ahead, Sam. Play that clip when you get ready, brother.
Recently, the city of Seattle summoned its white employees, and only its white employees, to a meeting and then informed them their skin color is a crime. The city called this anti-racism training. Events like it are taking place all over the country right now, in schools, local governments, corporations, the military. The city of Seattle named its training session Interrupting Internalized Racial Superiority and Whiteness. Chris Rufo of City Journal wanted to know exactly what went on in a meeting like that, so he filed a public records request. Here's what he found. White employees in Seattle were informed that their so-called white qualities were offensive and unacceptable. Those qualities included perfectionism, objectivity, and individualism. The employees were told to stop exhibiting these characteristics, and instead they were ordered to undertake, quote, the work of undoing your own whiteness. In order to achieve that, in order to erase the traits they were born with, white employees in Seattle were ordered to give up the following. They were ordered to give up comfort. They were ordered to give up spending time with their family. They were ordered to give up guaranteed physical safety, control over other people and the land, relationships with some other white people, niceties from neighbors and colleagues, and, quote, the certainty of your jobs. Prepare to be unemployed, pale employees of Seattle. Your skin color disgusts us. All of that actually happened in Seattle. Check out Chris Rufo's new piece in City Journal if you want more details on it. But again, atrocities like this aren't just happening in Seattle. They're happening everywhere. Some will almost certainly happen in your kid's school this fall. No one will ask your permission before they do it. They'll just attack your children for how they were born. The people doing the attacking, by the way, would tell you with a straight face how opposed they are to gay conversion therapy because, of course, it's immoral to try to change people's intrinsic qualities. They wouldn't see the irony in that. More likely, they don't care about irony. This isn't about principles. It's about hate, humiliation, and power. It is about hurting people. It always is. Telling people they're inferior because of their skin color was wrong when it happened 60 years ago in Alabama. It is every bit as wrong when it happens today in Seattle, or at Yale, or Google headquarters, or at your kid's elementary school. Attacking people on the basis of their race is a sin. There is nothing worse for a country. They can try to disguise it with Orwellian terms like anti-racism, but this is the purest kind of race hate. It will destroy America faster than anything else. Don't put up with it. Resist. Speak out. Fight back. This is totally wrong. Until you stand up, it will continue.
You know, people, what do you think about that? I mean, let that sink in. It just seems so Orwellian that it couldn't possibly be true. And Jacob, even I didn't realize how fast it was coming down the pike. But if this doesn't let you know, people out there, and I'm sure Jacob was going to kick back and let me know, I'm sure you'll agree. The point is, the Black Lives Matter and Antifa, they're not out there to try to get social justice and the people, getting along together. They're there because they hate. They absolutely hate. We've been saying this for years. They hate your guts. They hate your children. They hate your parents. They hate your grandparents. They despise you because you're white, because you're the 4% on earth. And Jacob, I'm going to run this by you. The end game here, people, if they get their way, is total extermination of the white race in the United States and all over the world. They will not rest until they are exterminated. Am I right or wrong, Jacob?
You're right. This is not hyperbole. It sounds a little bit hyperbolic, but it's not hyperbole, because hyperbole is, of course, just exaggeration for dramatic effect, loosely defining it. The problem here, Pappy, is that, you know, like you were just pointing out, this isn't about racial reconciliation. They talk like that all the time. Just maybe as recently as a year ago, that was the talk. It's always all about, oh, the racial reconciliation. But what does singling out white-only employees of the government and telling them things like they have these problematic traits, and these traits are so generic as perfectionism and objectivity and individualism, traits that people of any racial background should be striving towards, by the way, because, you know, you can serve your own people best when you're at least some level of a perfectionist. Everyone should be objective, and everyone should fiercely guard their individualism.
Jack, if you continue on with that, my brother, my young, much, much, much younger brother, as soon as we come back in this break. People, hang on, because we're going to chill you, send some more chills down your spine when we come back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Donald Trump said that he will be signing an executive order in the next few weeks, which will include a road to citizenship for DACA recipients.
I'm going to be signing a very major immigration bill as an executive order. One of the aspects of the bill is going to be DACA. We're going to have a road to citizenship.
The president, who has pledged to end DACA numerous times since he was on the campaign trail in 2015, at the time he called the program an illegal executive order, now saying the bill wouldn't just be for temporary relief, but would be for a far more encompassing merit-based bill. DACA currently serves as protection for young immigrants that were brought to the U.S. illegally as children, referred to as dreamers, to allow them legally to study, work, and remain in the United States without fear of deportation. Remember, you can listen online anytime at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you in need of a health care program? You're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with membership starting as early as the following month. There are no contracts, no commitments. There is no network, so you choose your own doctors and hospitals. Starting as low as $199 per month, Liberty HealthShare has programs for singles, couples, and families of any size. I joined. I'm a member. My four children are members. Liberty has saved me $72,000 compared to what I was paying for health insurance over these 4 years. Liberty HealthShare is a non-profit ministry. It is not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who come together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot. libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot.
The mayor of one Midwestern city said she's not distracted by protesters. More from USA Radio's Kenneth Burns.
A city crew worked to remove the resign, Leiter, resign message that was painted on the street in front of City Hall. Mayor Leiter Cruson has faced protests and calls to step down for the last couple of weeks. She's been under fire since last month when she read the names and partial addresses of at least 10 protesters who called for the city to defund the police department in a Facebook live stream. Protesters that were gathered in front of City Hall were cleared out Friday morning, only to return later in the day. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns.
The most magical place on Earth has reopened after nearly 4 months with new rules in place to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom and the Animal Kingdom are reopened now, while Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios will follow on Wednesday. The reopening comes as a huge surge of Floridians have tested positive for the new coronavirus in recent weeks. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something. Well, dear, dear people, dear Blood River Radio family, we are right back. It's going to be me and Moondog Jason Jacob. We're going to be handling this show for you tonight. And, I'm going to run some things across, Jason. First of all, people, we have another incredible clip, but we're going to save it until the last segment of the first hour. But you know what, Jacob? As you well know, I became to Christ late in life, and I've been straight up King James Bible all along. I still am, and I'm still a Christian, but I'm having to rethink some stuff because what I see with my lying eyes, I'm not going to say it doesn't line up with Scripture, but I'm looking out at two things. I'm going to run this by you. You know, for instance, the traits, the evil traits we have, what they're saying us then, white people need to stop being perfectionist. We need to stop striving for excellence. None of us are perfect, but striving for excellence is white. That's what whitey does. And, you know, even blacks that are trying to raise themselves up into society, they catch the same flack. Because you know what? Other ne'er-do-well, scuzzy blacks will tell them, hey, you're acting like whitey. You need to quit working. You're working. You go to work every day. You go to school every day. You're getting married. You're having kids. That's like a white. That's whitey. A second point is, I notice, I can throw some scriptures out there, but first one I notice, the Mexicans, the browns people in the world, anywhere in the world, they are not under Luciferian attack by the Luciferian Bolsheviks. The black race is not under attack. The brown race is not under attack. The yellows are not under attack. The people that are under attack, Jacob and my dear family, are whites. We're the 4% or less in the entire world. So I'm saying to myself, maybe there is something to this Christian identity. I've never been an identity guy. I've always said, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And it says whosoever. That's a universal term. There's other scriptures in there. I could cite you other examples where anyone can be saved and come to Christ. But Jacob, why do we see, and we know, and you said it so well, started the show in your prayer, that we are under attack. God's people are under attack. Why is it just white Christians being attacked? Why do we not see yellow Christians, black Christians, brown Christians? Jacob, there's got to be something to that, my man. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, it definitely has a lot to do with who the historical banner carriers for Christ's kingdom and the gospel have been. And, you know, you mentioned identity, Christianity, and whatnot. There's a whole separate discussion to be had there. But regardless of where one lands on that particular question, it is undeniable that, yes, the European and kindred peoples bear the overwhelming majority of the attacks at the hands of the Marxists and the globalists and these people that they are communists. You know, I don't know why I always pause to say that, but they always harken back to that. These people always do ultimately harken back to communism, even if they don't wear the name on their chest as often. But it has everything to do with the role that our people have played in history in taking the gospel to the rest of the world. The things even that make it a more complicated question, where I mentioned that the identity Christianity stuff is a separate discussion. One of the major things that even makes that such a complex discussion is the fact that you do see some pretty interesting history of how other places of the world have responded to the gospel and what's happened there. And we do see that all over the world, anywhere where there's any kind of an enclave of Christians whatsoever. You know, my friend Pastor Peter Hammond, who runs Frontline Fellowship, they do like hardcore missionary work, and they're based in Africa. That's where they actually are located. So they do all kinds of hardcore mission work in Africa, going into like communist war zone hell holes and taking Bibles and stuff to people in there. And everywhere, you know, those pockets of Christianity come under attack too, and they're trying to they try to violently wipe them out as well. But no one's attacking the Sudanese Christians as a group. People are only attacking white people as an ethnic group. So wherever Christianity takes some kind of root, evil, you know, the forces of darkness, the globalists, the communists, and various other iterations of Baal worshippers will attack and try to violently root out any kind of Christian influence whatsoever. But no one attacks the Sudanese Christians. No one attacks the Chinese people. You know, you hear about the underground Chinese church and stuff like that. And I'm even just mentioning that in the interest of just being thorough here. So, you know, you hear about that stuff all the time, but no one is attacking Chinese Christians. No one is attacking Sudanese Christians. As a matter of fact, they just kind of get ignored altogether. Like you're talking about, Pappy, only this ethnic group of people is singled out and attacked on the basis of their skin color.
And especially in white nations. Like the United States is an all, it used to be an all white nation. But if you, we have, like you say, we have Sudanese Christians in the United States, Jacob. We have Chinese Christians. We have Japanese Christians. We have Ebony Christians from the Sub-Sahara. But in the United States, we have all these Christians, Jacob. I'm going back to you. I think you've nailed something, Jacob. We, as a white race, we were the only ones being attacked at full scale by Lucifer. So my question to you, Jacob, is it because the white race basically has been the banner carrier for all these years since we evolved, came out of Christendom in Europe? Is that the case, Jacob?
Absolutely. Like we talk about often, you know, we're not just speaking truth to power here. We're speaking truth to the powers, as in the powers and the principalities of this present darkness that Scripture speaks of. Satan and his minions are no dummies. They're not limited to a 100-year or less lifespan like we are. They've failed numerous times throughout history already, and they sit back and they see. Just if we can sit back and we can say, wow, look at how Christianity, there's numerous books written on the subject on how Christianity and the spread of it revolutionized the world and turned the world not upside down so much as right side up again. And so the devilish powers that are behind all this, if we can sit back and recognize that, they can too. And so it doesn't take very long to look and see, okay, well, this particular group of people has been the group of people that God has used to take the gospel to the rest of the world, and especially in European nations is where it's really flourished and taken off and just completely affected everything and permeated every aspect of society. And so, yeah, it's proof of the spiritual powers that we're fighting against, because even the elites, even the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and people of that ilk, they don't possess generation-spanning intelligence. We're dealing with a malevolent generation-spanning intelligence that is able to take the history and the failures of generation after generation, the forces of darkness in each one of these generations, and learn from that. And that's why they're attacking us as a group, because they recognize that historically, the people that have resisted them the most fervently and who God has intervened and blessed have been people of European stock. And so now people of European stock in general, even the ones that are on the fence, even the people that pride themselves in not being involved in the right wing or anything like that. No, they're trying to target the entire group, because they're smart enough to recognize that as long as white Christian families are striving to serve God, people are going to continue coming into the world who are going to take the gospel to the corners of the earth and try to minister wherever they go, find the most downtrodden and singled out groups of people wherever they are, and be trying to serve them and bring them the light of the truth. And that God works through those kind of people. So they're smart enough to. What we're seeing basically is they're trying to take out the resistance to their hegemony at the root.
Jack, you mentioned devilish powers and people, and I'd like to address. This is a Christian show. We're not saying we're perfect, but we do worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this show. And for you people out there that don't. And you say, and I've talked to some people, say it's like a fairy tale. Well, let me tell you something. The people that Jacob just kept mentioning, if you go into, for instance, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, if you go to the Club of Rome, If you go to the Bilderbergers, if you go to all these other groups, you have the richest, most powerful people in the world. And you know what, people? They do. I can promise you. I've studied this all my life almost. I'm 73 years old. They do worship God, but it's not your God. They know all about Jesus Christ, and they will tell. They'll be the first ones to tell you, just like Satan. Satan and all his minions, they know who Jesus Christ is. And they hate him. They fear him because they know in the end they're going to lose. But the point I'm trying to tell you people is these people know that Jesus Christ exists. They know that the Holy Bible is the truth. They know it's an inspired word of God. And the only reason I say that is because I hope by some warped way, some alternative way coming into the back door, so to speak, you too can come to Christ. Because in the end, I don't care what kind of battles me and Jacob fight. I don't care how much money we have. I don't care what kind of calls we get. One of these days, if you don't get killed in a car wreck immediately or something, if you're on your deathbed, you're going to have to see the man, either at the judgment or, God forbid, the great white judge, throne judgment. People, we come back. Speaking of devilish powers, we're going to play another clip as soon as we come back from this break. Sam's going to fire it up as soon as we come back from this break. Be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Despite if
its immense political power, and it does have immense power, the group Black Lives Matter isn't really much of a group. It's a relatively small, flimsy organization. In fact, it doesn't really have a legal existence of its own. Officially, the primary Black Lives Matter group is simply a project of another nonprofit called Thousand Currents. Now, why is this interesting? Well, it's interesting because the current vice chair of Thousand Currents is a woman called Susan Rosenberg. And she's a convicted terrorist who spent 16 years in federal prison before she was given a pardon by Bill Clinton on the very last day in office. Bernie Kerik remembers this well. He's the former police commissioner of New York City. But before that, he worked in New Jersey, and he personally escorted Susan Rosenberg from the federal courthouse in Newark in 1985. He knows the story well, and we're happy to have him on tonight. Mr. Kerik, thank you for coming on. That picture is remarkable. So Susan Rosenberg...
I had hair then, Tucker. I had hair.
And an AR-15. So what? Who is Susan Rosenberg? Why is it significant that she now, in effect, works for Black Lives Matter?
Well, for me, on a personal note, it's important for your viewers to know who she is, because Black Lives Matter, as I've said, dating back to 2015, it's a revolutionary Marxist group. That's what it is. It's a group that wants to overthrow this government, the country. It's a group that its founders, its three founders, were inspired by a woman named Joanne Chesimard, who goes by an African name, Asada Shakur, who lives in exile in Cuba after she assassinated a New Jersey state trooper. She was involved in a number of bombings and executions of New York City cops, cops in San Francisco, and cops in New Jersey. That's who they are. That's what they're about. And when I tried to explain that to people over the last two or three years, they didn't get it. Now, in the last few weeks, we learn Susan Rosenberg is one of their fundraising gurus, let's say. Well, Susan Rosenberg, in 1985, when you look at that photo, she was convicted of possessing hundreds of pounds of explosives. She was involved in the Brinks Nyack robbery, where two cops were killed and a security guard was killed. She was involved, her and her organization, the May 19th Communist Organization, they were involved in a number of police assassinations, bombings, the U.S. Capitol bombing, the Naval War College bombing, and a number of others in the United States. She was a radical revolutionary, and she was let out of prison. She was commuted on the last day of President Clinton's term in office. After 16 years in prison, she was given 58 years in prison. And now she's out. Who does she work for? Black Lives Matter. I think, you know, we're missing something here. I think DOJ should be looking at Black Lives Matter as a terrorist group, as a terrorist organization. And I find it astounding that all these U.S. firms, some 200 that you've chronicled on your show, they're just pounding money into a group that's all about the overthrow of this government. And if you can't see it on its face by what they do normally on a daily basis, then you need to start looking at their associates, their inspirers, and the people around them, because this stuff has been going on since 1960, 70, in the early 80s, when these people, these revolutionaries, Marxist revolutionaries, wanted to overthrow this country.
It's just amazing that all the rich ladies in Aspen and Greenwich think BLM is about ending racism, which obviously all of us are for, when in fact it's a revolutionary group. Maybe the U.S. government could take decisive action, and by doing that, make it really clear that this is a terror organization.
You know what, Tucker? Black Lives Matter was truly, working for black lives. They'd be marching tonight in Chicago,
exactly,
or Baltimore, or Cleveland,
right.
And I can give you 20 other cities.
No, I know.
It's all nonsense.
It is, and it's having the opposite effect, needless to say. Bernie Kerik, thanks so much for that. Great to see you tonight.
There you have it, people. There you have it, folks. Just what we were saying. The thing, these communist groups, they've gotten control. They've had control of the black groups from day one. For instance, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, NAACP, they were controlled totally, staffed almost 100% by Jews in the early days, the 20s, 30s, 40s, all the way up to the finally the blacks wised up and kicked them out, kicked most of the Jews out of their organizations. But, you know, people, these Jews and these other Luciferian, Bolshevik, communist organizations, they don't give a hootin' hell about these blacks. What they're using these blacks for is they're using them for attack dogs, for the street soldiers, you know, the hitmen, to attack other Christians, to attack white people that have controlled this country from the time, you know, that the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock or the short time thereafter. So in summary, they don't give a hoot in hell about the blacks, who they hate. They absolutely despise Christians. All communists do. Communism, socialism in any form is evil, just like Alexander Solzhenitsyn said. It will rot your soul out. And that's why we said earlier that they hate white people so much, is because like Jason said, white people, they know in general, have been the great missionaries of the world. They have carried on the Great Commission, which Christ demanded that the apostles go two by two to all the nations of the world to preach the gospel of Christ. And you know what? You take Angela Davis. They talk about the 60s. I remember all too well when Angela Davis, Black Panther woman, Bill Ayers, white, they were hand in hand. The Weathermen, terrorist organization. The Students of a Democratic Society, terrorist organization. Bombing, killing police, blowing up police stations, blowing up courthouses. They blowing up the Capitol building, for God's sakes. They hate us, and they will not be satisfied until every Christian is dead, till every white person is dead. To kind of paraphrase what an old guy said, they won't be communist said, they won't be satisfied until the last Christian is strangled to death with the guts of the last minister. Something like that. But anyway, once again, people, your beloved Bill Clinton was right in bed with these people like Bill Ayers. I mean, the hardcore satanic Bolshevik communist terrorist. Jacob, am I right or wrong, son?
You're absolutely right. And this gets back to the question you asked me earlier. We had to cut it short because of the break that came in. But when I was responding to your question and saying, no, this, you know, it may sound a little bit hyperbolic, but it's really not hyperbole, because in spite of all the talk about racial reconciliation and yada, yada.
Oh, Jacob, let me say one thing. Let me jump in one time. And people, and what Jacob and I are talking about, he says it's not hyperbole. I ask you to reference what's going on in South Africa right now, people. All the people, we're having a South African on later in the second hour of this show. We have Simon Roach on. He's told us 3 years ago, Jacob can vouch for it. He was in Charlottesville just like Blood River was. Simon said, all the signs that happened in South Africa or right here in the United States, what's going in Seattle, you drive the wrong car, you eat the wrong food if you're white, you use too much electricity, you're religious, you have too much work ethic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sorry to cut you off, Jacob, but I had to throw that in there because it is not hyperbole. I tell you what, we are talking about history that's happened in South Africa, and it's in the Civil War, people, is unfolding right now before our eyes. It hadn't grown hot yet. But it's going just like it was in 1933 when the World Jewish Committee declared war on Germany. Six years before the shooting started, they declared war on Germany with a boycott. They almost bankrupted the miracle that Hitler brought about in Germany. Go ahead, Jacob.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, not, like you're saying, not hyperbole, because we see these people showing their true colors. There's all this talk about racial reconciliation, but then we see the city of Seattle and their interrupting internalized racial superiority and whiteness. Imagine a program sponsored by any government of any city and add the adjective for any other racial group in there. Interrupting internalized racial superiority and yellowness. Interrupting internalized racial superiority and redness. Interrupting internalized racial superiority and blackness. People would be, the heads would roll in any government of any city where the roles were even slightly changed. This is only acceptable against white people, folks, and it's flagrant. You know, I always use the term cautiously because of the dubious origins of the word, but if there is a legitimately defined thing as racism, you know, in spite of the way the term's just bandied about and abused and misused, then this is it right here. We are seeing racism, race-based hatred, slander, and oppression of an ethnic group of people far more flagrant than anything I have ever heard even hardcore CI people anyone say. And it's just right in your face.
It is pure racial hatred. It most certainly is. People, we're getting ready to go to a break. We're going to start the second hour. We're going to bring a man, an eyewitness from South Africa, on. He's going to be on for about a half hour, the first two segments of hour two. He will vouch for everything we said. So hang on to your seats. Me and Jacob and Jason Bartle will be right back.